It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, there are foods that can heal and there are foods that can actually increase illness or inflammation. A lot of inflammatory foods out there. My guest is registered dietitian Michelle Babb. So welcome to the show, Michelle. Let's start with the foods that are inflammatory in nature, things you do not want probably to be eating because they can increase headaches, they can increase heartburn or joint pain, muscle aches, that sort of thing.
Right. Well, the foods that tend to be more pro-inflammatory are actually the whole category of processed foods is a good place to start. So foods that have a lot of refined sugar and refined flours, those are going to have a tendency to be more pro-inflammatory. And many of the animal products, and I'm not saying that you need to become a vegan overnight, but eating too many animal products, eating too much meat can also put you in a more pro-inflammatory state.
Well, and that certainly is true. And if you moderate those, or if you're going to choose meat products, maybe lean chickens and turkeys and just kind of lower down on the red meat a little bit, correct?
Well, and being a little bit more choosy about the type of red meat you eat. So if you're looking for something that's more along the lines of 100% grass-fed beef, that they've done assays on that particular meat that shows that it has more omega-3s, which is anti-inflammatory. So that type of meat would be a better quality meat, red meat, that would have less of a pro-inflammatory effect.
So now what about the foods that are just really great for us that can be healing, you know, that can help us with headaches, inflammation, you know, things that can be not used as natural remedies, but in an adjunct to whatever our remedies are.
Absolutely. So fish is actually a very anti-inflammatory kind of a food, and it's a great source of protein too. So the omega-3s that are in fish, we hear a lot about that in terms of the anti-inflammatory properties. So including fish in your diet, and I'm talking more about the thin fish like salmon and halibut and mackerel and cod, those are all great choices that cool down inflammation in the body. And then the good healthy fats that are also in that category, things like avocados and olives and really good quality olive oil. So this starts to sound a lot like the Mediterranean-style diet. And then a Mediterranean-style diet is also the foundation is fresh vegetables. So all kinds of greens and colorful vegetables also would be the foundation for a really anti-inflammatory kind of a diet.
Well, and certainly the antioxidants that we're getting and the greener that they are, the more colorful that they are and the more fiber that they have, they're going to help to keep us running better. Now, what about things like honey? Because some people have shown that it's, you know, some research has shown that it has antibacterial, antiviral effects, but it can also be highly allergic. So speak about honey a little bit.
Yeah, so I think honey can be a really good choice for people. I usually recommend looking for raw honey. And it does have some nice antimicrobial properties to it. So if you want to sweeten something up, I think that's a much better choice than reaching for the refined white sugar. The controversy around honey, and it's not so much a controversy as just a concern, just comes from a particular toxin that sometimes can make it problematic for small children. So it sometimes just gets a little bit of a bad rap and concern around that. But for most people tolerate honey really well, and it can be a really nice way to sweeten things up naturally and get a few health benefits along with it.
One of the things I like are mint and ginger, both for nausea and, you know, you kind of cleanse the palate, both of them. And they've been used for as anti-nauseants for thousands of years.
Right.
So, you know, those kinds of things actually have the medicinal properties. Now, people have heard about green tea. You know, it's supposed to be really, really amazing for you, but how much do you really have to have? I mean, with mint and ginger, Michelle, you can, like, chew some mint leaves and see the results immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But with green tea, how do you know?
Yeah, green tea, I think, would be, you know, just as a rule of thumb, I usually recommend having about 2 cups, 2 big mugs of green tea per day. And that's where they start to see, in a lot of the literature, a lot of the research, where they start to see some good medicinal benefits. And it's just so loaded with antioxidants. We know that it's good for cancer prevention. We know that it's good for heart disease prevention. And it's also anti-inflammatory. So I think that's a great way. I usually recommend if people need a little bit of a lift in their day, that green tea is a nice way to go for that. And it has all of these great health properties with it that come along for the ride.
Now, spices, people have been hearing now, you know, and in the media about turmeric and cinnamon. And of course, I mentioned ginger already. So turmeric, really, you know, they're calling it kind of the wonder spice as far as cancer risk. And so what are we doing with turmeric?
You know, that is an herb that you'll see often in Indian-influenced foods. So you'll see that in curry. And I just think it is remarkable in terms of its anti-inflammatory properties and has been really well researched. So it's the volatile oils in the turmeric that makes it, those are the active components. And it actually has similar effects to some of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So when you can get something like that from a food, it's just remarkable. And you know, on a very simple side, you could just toss some vegetables with some turmeric. I do this often with cauliflower and roast it. And that's a really nice way to get turmeric into your life if you're not familiar with it. But then also just, you know, experimenting with some of those more, the Indian type cuisine and curry based dishes is another way where you'll see turmeric show up.
And it adds such a beautiful yellow color. I just throw it in so many things, in eggs and in, you know, when you're tossing or making tahini. I mean, you can really use turmeric in so many ways. Now, the cinnamon challenge notwithstanding, cinnamon actually can help lower cholesterol and stabilize blood sugar, correct? I mean, that's
right.
Actually very medicinal.
That's so true. Yeah, and cinnamon, I think, is an easy sell for most people because they're familiar with it. You know, it's easy to put on things like oatmeal or to throw into a smoothie. And it definitely, I mean, there's a lot of research about the effects that it has on insulin and just the ability for the body to assimilate blood sugar. So it's really nice for those who have difficulty just keeping their blood sugar stable. That's something that I often recommend putting, you know, at least a few teaspoons in their oatmeal just to start the day off.
It's so good for you, and it adds so much flavor, so you definitely have to watch the amounts. Now, one of my favorites, dark chocolate. More and more we're learning about how, you know, it can benefit our cardiovascular system and yet also affect our mood. We women have known that for years.
This is true. Yeah, dark chocolate, and the darker the better, really. I usually recommend going for something that's at least 73% cacao or higher. And it can be just a wonderful small piece of dark chocolate, you know, once a day, I think is a nice way to elevate mood, but also to get the delivery system of the antioxidants in a form that most people enjoy.
Well, and when we're talking about some of these foods, yogurt helps to, you know, I mean, we're talking about the probiotics and get that good flora going, you know, because mm-hmm. we've burnt up so much of the good bacteria in our guts. So yogurt does that. And so speak about that. And then cranberries for UTIs.
Yeah. So yogurt, any kind of cultured dairy product is going to have those great probiotics. So the good bacteria that sometimes we're lacking, sometimes it's because we've done too many antibiotics, and sometimes it's just because our gut flora has been compromised in some way. So eating yogurt is a really nice way to repopulate the gut with the good guys. And kefir is another cultured dairy product that people like to use, and then even some of the fermented foods. So things like sauerkraut and kimchi, those things are also something that has probiotics in them that can help repopulate the gut in a positive way.
Ooh, I do love kimchi. So good. Some people can't take the spice, but it's definitely wonderful. Thank you so much, Michelle. These are healing foods, things that you can try, cinnamon and turmeric and cranberries and probiotics, yogurt, omega-3s in your fish. These are wonderful ways to get the healing properties that food really does have in it. Remember, you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. You can listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. Thanks so much and stay well.